first of all invite the Holy Spirit to be here with us this evening. Holy Spirit, we love you. And we thank you that for your love for us and your desire to move in this place this evening. So, Lord, I pray that our hearts will be open and our ears will be open. And I pray that each person here individually, Lord, will be able to hear your voice this evening. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, well, before I start talking about prophecy, I wanted to begin with something that's quite foundational. And it was touched on in the first song that we sang, which was about God's presence and us coming into a place of intimacy with him. So I really felt, when I prayed about it, that this was the place to start. First of all, we need that intimate relationship with God, that open relationship with God. I love the book of John because there's so much in it about love and about our relationship with God and his desire for intimacy with us. I'm going to read from John 14, verse 23. If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. So these are the words of Jesus. And I think that's really special that Jesus and the Father together come to make their home in us. It's incredible. John calls it abiding, and he talks about the vine and being connected into the vine. But there's something else as well that's part of it. John 14, 16 to 17 says that he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. You know him, for he lives in you. So here's another part of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit coming to live in us. We become deeply connected with God. All three persons of the Trinity are intimately connected with each other, and we can come into that connection, which I think is just so beautiful. Have we got a picture of trees? Yes. this spoke to me recently. I mean, I saw it put up at a conference, and I thought, wow, that sort of speaks really about the way that our lives and are kind of intertwined really with God. It's a weird picture in a way. We don't often see trees looking like that, but I think it's a bit of a prophetic picture, maybe. That's the way that God wants to live with us, with each one of us. It says in the Bible, in him we live and move and have our being. A friend once gave me a prophetic picture, and it was of a ring. And it was made out of three types of metal. It was gold and silver and white gold. And these metals were intertwined. It's the same kind of picture, and we get woven into that. I wish I had a ring like that. I'm hinting, Dave. So it's only from that place of intimacy that we can be effective for God's kingdom, and that we can make a real difference in the lives of our friends and our families and our church and our community. It's knowing the love of God and kind of doing everything with the motive of love. I'm mainly focusing on prophecy this evening, and I hope that's not a problem. I felt that we knew perhaps more about prophetic teaching, anointed teaching, but maybe we're slightly less familiar with prophecy and the way it works. What I will say about the gift of teaching is that there's a natural gift of teaching, and then there's a spiritual gift of teaching. And when a person's teaching is anointed, it means that the Holy Spirit rests on that person as they're preaching and teaching. And because of that, there's an effectiveness beyond belief. God can give the most amazing insight and power and fluency to a person who has the Holy Spirit resting on them. Martin Lloyd-Jones said, it's lifted up beyond simple human efforts and endeavours. Well, I hope I haven't given you any false hopes for this evening. I want to look now at some lists of spiritual gifts. So I wonder if we could have... Yep, that's the slide. Okay. So looking at these, we've got 1 Corinthians. I expect you've read these lists in the Bible. And the gifts of the Spirit, wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miraculous powers, prophecy, discerning spirits, tongues, interpretation. And the gifts, which it says are given by God. It does give a kind of hierarchy, at least at the beginning. Apostles, prophets, teachers, miracle workers, healers, helpers, administrators, and speakers in tongues. So we've got a couple of places where the gift of prophecy is mentioned. So if you note that the gifts in the second column describe people's ministry, these are people who tend to operate continually with a particular gift. And sometimes people call it the office of prophecy or whatever it is. And interestingly, sandwiched in between these two passages, there's a description of the body of Christ being made up of many parts. So it seems to me that a person fits into the body of Christ according to their gifting, but not just the natural gifting, but also the spiritual gifting. So this is what makes up the complete body of Christ. Jesus actually said that we would do greater things than him, which is a bit mind-boggling, isn't it? Would we like to see all these things in our community and in our church? Would we? We've got somebody nodding. maybe some of us have a bit of difficulty, believing, some of these things that are mentioned. Maybe some of us feel fearful, actually, what would the effect of that be in our church? Ooh. So if... If we could have the next slide. Okay, we've got a couple more lists. Again, I think you might be familiar with them. The first one is Ephesians 4. And these are described as being the gifts of Jesus. And these are ministries, aren't they? So these are people who have a particular way of operating in these giftings. Apostles, teachers, prophets, we've got there again. Evangelists and pastors. And then Romans 12, got prophecy again, serving, teaching, encouraging, giving, leading, and mercy. So we actually got teaching has been mentioned 3 times and prophecy has been mentioned 4 times. Okay, so what is prophecy? What do we mean by prophecy? Having a think about it, I reckon it may be receiving and communicating a revelation from God for an individual, for a group, or for a situation. It's supernatural knowledge that couldn't actually be worked out without some kind of revelation from God very often. And it may relate to the past or the present or even the future. So it's basically about hearing God's voice for other people or for ourselves. If it's a brief and accurate personal prophecy, it's generally called a word of knowledge. But the boundary between these things is a little bit blurred. So prophecy, in all of the lists, and it says really that it's given by the Father, it's given by the Son, and it's given by the Holy Spirit. So actually it's something that's really important, not something that we should shrink from or tuck it away because we're nervous about it. Ephesians 4, I've said that already, yep. So we're not all prophets, but we can all prophesy. Do you believe that? Do you believe that every Christian has gifting? Do you believe that you have gifting? Yeah, a few nods, so I'm not sure. but not only that, there are more gifts that are available for you personally. This passage has been mentioned already, Matthew 7, 9 to 11. If your son asks for bread, will you give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will you give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? That's pretty amazing, isn't it? So God wants to give us gifts. I think he's ready. He's eager. He's eager, and he really wants to give them. So what is prophecy for? What's it for? And I'd like us to turn to 1 Corinthians 14, verses 1 to 3. You can look at it in your Bibles if you've got it handy, otherwise it's up there. So it says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. And then a bit later it says, everyone who prophesies speaks to men for their strengthening, encouragement and comfort. Okay, so if we can go back to the beginning of that, follow the way of love. What does that actually mean? Well, it has actually been beautifully described a few verses earlier in 1 Corinthians 13. Are we getting that up? Yay. Which says, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. I don't want to be that, do you? If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but have not love, I'm nothing. So this is really, really important, that all prophecy needs to be spoken out in the context of love. Love is patient, love is kind, it doesn't envy, it doesn't boast, it isn't proud. So gifts are nothing, that they're not to be we're not to be proud of our gifts, because they're not ours, they're given to us, they're gifts. They're from God. And even though prophecy seems to be at the top of the list, It's not a competition. Spiritual gifts are not a competition. So there's no room for boasting, because these gifts are from God. Romans 12:10 says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love and honour one another above yourselves. So if we could we pop back to 1 Corinthians 14? Yeah. So, yeah, we need to eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially prophecy. It's available for all of us. We only need to ask. I found it interesting that in the Old Testament, Moses actually said, I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets and that the Lord would put his spirit on them. Well, how prophetic was that statement? I mean, that's amazing. That's from Numbers 11. And when Heather spoke to us, she gave us Joel 2:28, which says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Well, that doesn't leave anyone out, actually. That includes all of us. We're all sons or daughters, aren't we? And we've got Moses and Joel cheering us on. So another verse from, is everyone who prophesies speaks to men for their strengthening, encouragement and comfort. So this means that people are built up in love. And it's the only kind of prophecy that should be encouraged in the context of the church, I think. There are some prophetic ministries which speak out, about the sinful state of the nation, or they kind of predict the future, and there's nothing wrong with that at all. But it's not the thing that we do most of the time in church. I'm not sure. Would you ban it, Louise? I'm not sure. She's thinking. So I want to move on and talk about different types of prophecy. What are the different types, and what do they actually look like? And I'm sure, everyone here has got examples of this kind of thing. But I'm going to give you some personal examples from my experiences. So the first one is just the right word at the right time. Okay. And I think of a time a few years ago when I was going around to see a lady who used to come to the toddler group. And I saw her, and I later spoke to her on the phone, and I was kind of worried by the type of things that she was saying. She was speaking in a weird voice, and she was saying some very strange things. And I was very nervous about going around to see her because I thought, I don't know how this is going to go, and, maybe this lady needs deliverance. I felt unsettled. But before I left my house, a friend from this church phoned up, and she said, I really feel that God said I need to pray for you this morning. I don't know why. You don't need to tell me anything about it, but I just want you to know that I'm praying for you. So I was just so grateful. Isn't God good? You're in a sticky situation, and somebody phones up and says, I'm praying for you. So that's like a, a little encouraging type of prophecy. Okay, so what about dreams? What about prophetic dreams? I think sometimes dreams are for us, and sometimes they're for other people, and sometimes they're a load of absolute nonsense. Over the years, I've sometimes had doubts about my decision to stop working, and whether I made the right decision. And there was one time I had a dream, and it was about a lady, and it was in casualty. She came in, and I was the doctor, right? And I could see that she was rather pale and weak. And she said that she was terribly thirsty and her mouth was looking really parched. I said I'd put up a drip for her. And I was searching and searching and searching, and I couldn't find the stuff to put the drip up. And I felt desperately incompetent in the dream. And after a while, it just dawned on me that actually all she needed was a glass of cold water. And she took it and she drank it eagerly. How simple. Well, this dream spoke to me because it sort of said, really, that what God wanted me to do was to provide spiritual refreshment. So it wasn't the only thing, but it was part of my guidance, for thinking about stopping work. And I've had some really wacky God dreams, but I'm actually not going to regale you with them because you might think I'm weird. So let's talk about prophetic visions. I mean, there's some great examples of visions in the Bible. It's like Peter's vision of that cloth that was, had unclean animals, and Abraham, Daniel, Isaiah, lots of other people. I've only had one vision, and it wasn't actually something I saw. It was something that was in my mind, but it was actually very clear. And it was when I was at a prophecy training day at St. Mary's. And it was a picture of water flowing down a hillside, carving deep channels, and then flowing underground through tunnels. And I was swimming down one of these tunnels, which sounds a bit scary. And God was saying, go down and swim in the River of Tears. There are people drowning there, all sorts of strange characters. You need to swim with them because I know the way out, God. It's the way of wisdom. So it's a bit like being in the Alice in Wonderland story. I don't know whether you've read that, where Alice becomes huge and then she cries these giant tears. And there were these like unusual creatures swimming underground in this lake, a bit weird. And I was swimming with them, but I had no fear because I knew that God was with me and He knew the way out. Okay, so then this lady who was leading the prophecy day, she was called Jenny Campbell, and I spoke to her towards the end, and she looked at my badge and she said, oh, Alison, Alice in Wonderland. Whoa. So that was a word of knowledge, from her, but it was actually rather wonderful because it made me think that that vision was from God, and it was part of my confirmation to go and serve in Birkenhead. Are you okay with me so far? Still awake? Yeah. So we talk about prophetic pictures. A number of years ago, I was seeking guidance about direction, and I thought that God was wanting to bring something new into my life, maybe preaching, actually, at that time. So one day I turned on the computer, and I looked at a website, and a picture window popped up, and there was a picture of a little girl holding an egg on top of her head. Right, now that sounds a bit strange, doesn't it? But somehow that girl made me think of me when I was a girl. There's something about the way she had her hair. Oh, I was going to bring the picture and I forgot it. And I just printed it off, not really thinking much more about it. And then the following day, I was in a small group of people, and there was one lovely prophetic lady, and she was giving pictures for people. And when it came to me, she said, ah, I've got a picture of you holding an egg on your head. I mean, what are the chances? So again, I thought, well, wow, actually, well, what does this mean then? Okay, fair enough, but what does it mean? And she said, I think it might mean that God is birthing something new in your life, like an egg hatching. So we prayed about it and we thought it was preaching, and maybe part of being part of a house of prayer. And I did actually, a few years ago, I did a bit of preaching. So maybe, I don't know, maybe God's reminding me of this. Anyway, well, let's move on. prophetic song. I think we've heard a bit of that this evening. We've heard some snatches of beautiful prophetic words in a song, quite spontaneous, and that's often how it is. I think of the song 10,000 Reasons as being a lovely prophetic song. And it's actually a song that's ministered to countless people. It's been sung by many, especially at funerals, actually, and including both of my husband's parents' funerals, and it was beautiful. It was even sung by an assembled group when two men received the death penalty for drug smuggling in Indonesia, and some of the firing squad were moved to tears. And that's described in a book by Matt Redman. Okay. So what about specific words about the future? What about foretelling the future? Bit of a risky business. And it's probably best not to give out words like this without lots of prayer, possibly talking about it with a trusted friend. However, I remember one instance at this church where somebody stepped out in faith and prophesied that this couple would have a baby girl or boy, I can't remember, by that time the following year. He didn't know that they'd been trying unsuccessfully for a baby for a while, and he didn't know that they didn't believe in prophecy. So actually, this couple were very offended. They were rather upset about this. But what happened was, around about 9 months later, there was a little baby. Praise God. Okay, so should we move on to prophetic evangelism? There was one time I went out with a group of Christians into Birkenhead, and we listened to God before we went out, and I was a bit nervy about this because I thought it was all a bit weird. And we were asking God to give us a picture of that person he wanted us to meet in Birkenhead. And a couple of the guys actually had really accurate pictures, and they ended up leading, I can't remember if it was two or three people to the Lord. It was absolutely amazing. and I had a picture of a young lady in a red dress with a child who was fearful. The lady was fearful of something, and she was somewhere near Waterstones. I mean, you know, this is getting wacky, isn't it? So I ended up inside Waterstones with my friend, feeling really daft. And then this young lady walks up to us wearing a red dress. And I'm thinking, no, no. So I said to her, well, you know, actually, I really believe that you're God's treasure, that he really loves you. And do you want any prayer for anything? And to my surprise, she actually said, oh, that's nice. Thank you. And she said that she wanted prayer for her parents. And it turned out that her parents had died. I thought, whoa. but anyway, I spoke a blessing over her. And I asked that God would give her reassurance and peace. And I think I said something about God being merciful to the parents. And, you know, she was really touched, and her eyes filled up with tears. And she gave me a big hug just before her children ran up, and that was the end of it. So it was all really short. And I'm just a total, you know, where it comes to prophetic evangelism, I'm just a total novice. And if any of you know more about it, I would love to hear. but I personally believe that prophetic evangelism, as well as healings, are actually now more necessary than ever, because people are not being so easily reached by conventional means, by conventional preaching, you know, street preaching or preaching in the church. So should we move on to talk about prophetic dance? Well, prophetic actions are scriptural, and dancing is scriptural. And a friend has given me permission to share a story about prophetic dance. She felt that God was asking her to dance in a communion service at a weekday conference. And as she danced, words started coming from God. I know that you feel as though your life has been like ashes in your hands. And she carried on. And then God gave her a beautiful message of hope and healing, with the movement to go with it. I'm not going to demonstrate anything, can't do that. And the one lady on the front row fell on her knees and wept, because this picture and this the movement and the words had been so personal to her. And a couple of other people also came up to her and they told her that they were deeply touched by the dance and by the message. Praise God. Isn't he good? Isn't he good, the way he speaks so personally to us? Isn't he good? So, okay, we've talked a bit about different types of prophecy, but how do we know that prophecies are real? How do we know that they're really from God? How do we test them? Well, I reckon, and I've sort of read about this and talked about this with the ministry team, and I think there are probably four things to remember. Is there a slide for that, Peter? Yeah. Lovely. The first thing, and the most important thing, is it consistent with Scripture? So Scripture is a high watermark. Anything that contradicts God's written word is not going to be right. Secondly, does it give us an accurate picture of God's character? Does it strengthen? Thirdly, does it strengthen, encourage, and comfort? That passage we read. And do other Christians affirm the prophecy? If there's any doubt, check it out with somebody else. So in 1 Corinthians 14, it says two or three prophets should speak and the others should weigh carefully what is said. Okay, so that's the discernment that comes together. So just before I finish, I want to say something about the close connection between the Holy Spirit and prophecy. Because prophecy is not something that originates from our own thinking or our imagination, although it can get mixed up with those a little bit. It comes from the Holy Spirit. In 2 Peter 1:21, it says, prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. There's a passage in Acts 19:2-7, which I'm just going to just speak about very briefly. Some disciples of Jesus, it turned out, hadn't heard about the Holy Spirit, but they were disciples. So Paul explained to them that they needed to have to be baptized into the name of Jesus. Okay, and then they were baptized. Paul placed his hands on them. The Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. Okay, so when people become believers, when they're baptized, the Holy Spirit can actually come on them in great power, particularly with the laying on of hands. And then people speak in tongues, maybe, and prophesy, maybe. Okay. So I just want to quickly sum up what I very, very quickly recap what I've been saying. That first of all, that spiritual gifting flows from intimacy with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay, remember being intertwined with God. That prophecy is to be eagerly desired. It's hearing from God, and he wants us all to have this gift. That prophecy is receiving and communicating a revelation for an individual, a group, or a situation. That there are different forms of prophecy. That there are scriptures, words, pictures, visions, dreams, movements, dancing. That prophetic evangelism is a powerful form of witness. Okay, there are four ways of testing prophecy. Is it scriptural? Does it honor God's character? Does it strengthen, encourage, and comfort? And do other Christians sense it's right? And lastly, that prophecy flows from the Holy Spirit. Okay. Well, as we draw to a close, I want to give people the opportunity of receiving from God. I wonder if we could have some music, perhaps at this stage playing quietly. We've got some band. If you're not sure what to play, you could go back to that song number one. That was really lovely. And if there's any members of the ministry team, put your hand up if you're generally in the ministry team. There's one over there. There's one there. Okay. So it could be Karen or George. It could be myself. Or you could turn to the person next to you for prayer. Karen and George, do you want to pop up to the front? That'd be all right. So if you feel like you'd like more intimacy with God, if you'd like the gift of prophecy, he's very, very, very willing to give it to you. Or if you'd like to be filled with the Holy Spirit, I would invite you to come up for prayer. Thank you.